accuses believers to the Father. Satan should never be taken lightly. We must remember who we are in Christ. We must remember that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. We must remember and take heart in the fact that he is a defeated foe. And we must resist him and be aware of his schemes and use the word of God in our battle against him and give him no opportunity for victory through things like anger and other sins. And to be alert to the fact that he wants to destroy us. Satan is not our friend. And so we must remember to put on the full armor of God as we resist the schemes of the evil one. As you know, we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 6 for a while now. We've been taking each one of these weapons of the full armor of God, and these are outlined for us in Paul's description in Ephesians 6. And we're told that we're to put on these weapons. Remember that Paul was chained to a Roman guard as he wrote this, so he was well acquainted with the Roman warriors and what they wore. Told to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of the gospel of peace. And now we come to the shield of faith. Roman soldiers, as you can well imagine, carried a shield as part of their equipment as they went into battle. One was a small shield. They actually had, I guess, a couple of them. And these were used in hand-to-hand combat. And they were relatively white, lightweight, and they were used as a soldier engaged in sword play or sword fighting against an opponent. The other shield is probably the one that's in view here. It was a larger shield, approximately 2.5 feet wide by 4.5 feet high. And it was meant to cover the whole man. We got to remember that people were a little smaller back in that day and age. It was meant to cover the whole man and was itself covered with metal or perhaps heavily oiled leather over the thick wood of the shield itself. Soldiers carried these shields in the battle, and they were protected from enemy arrows and darts and missiles and spears. And the tips of incoming arrows were often wrapped in pieces of cloth that were soaked in pitch. And the arrow would then be lit, and would be fired at enemy troops. And the pitch would splatter upon impact and set on fire anything it touched. The shield would provide a protection against such missiles, making it an essential part of the soldier's army. So this morning we're going to consider the shield of faith as Paul describes it to us in this passage. Specifically, we will examine the faith that this shield represents, focusing on three essential characteristics. And the first characteristic is this: this faith is God's gift to his people. This faith is God's gift to his people. The faith we have as born-again Christians is a gift from God. Amen? If you're a Christian here today and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're looking forward to an eternity in heaven, it's because God gave you that faith. The faith we have as born-again Christians is a gift from God. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast." 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, faith is described as one of the greatest gifts, along with hope and love. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified or declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, "For even though I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus." Spurgeon says, "Wherever faith exists, it is the gift of God. It is a plant that never sprang up spontaneously from the soil of the corrupt human nature. whether it be little faith or great faith, it is equally of divine origin. And wherever it is found, whether it's in the child of a pious parent who is brought up with the utmost care, or in one who has lived all the former part of his life in the vilest sin, it is equally and alike the fruit of the Spirit and the effect of God's grace. The faith that saves us is the result of God's grace, which is applied towards us. It is the foundation of our Christian life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." The believer puts total trust in Jesus Christ as the crucified, buried, risen, and ascended Savior, seeking to be obedient to the words of Scripture, and looking ahead, looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. In the meantime, we live. We live here on planet Earth, and we exercise as Christians a practical daily faith which sustains us throughout all of life's trials and tribulations. Proverbs 30, verse 5. "Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him." God is a shield to us. He shields us from the wiles of the evil one. Psalm 18, verse 30, "And as for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield." Again, we got that word, shield, "to all who take refuge in him." So what's the point? Take refuge in God. He is our shield. All faith has to have an object. And as believers, the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. It is God. Our faith is in one who never fails. He will never leave us or forsake us. He will not give us a rock when we ask for a fish. Matthew 7. He has given us every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift. James 1, verse 17. And he will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. Philippians 4, verse 19. Satan may fire his darts, his fiery darts at us. He may fire his missiles at us. His flaming arrows may be shot at us, but God has given us the shield of faith to protect us. It's been given to us. We just have to use it. MacArthur says this, "The spiritual flaming missiles against which believers need protection would seem primarily to be temptations. Satan continually bombards God's children with temptations, temptations to immorality, hatred, envy, anger, covetousness, pride, doubt, fear, despair, distrust, and every other sin." You ever felt those fiery darts coming your way? "Every temptation, directly or indirectly," says MacArthur, "is the temptation to doubt and to distrust God. The purpose of all of Satan's missiles, therefore, is to cause believers to forsake their trust in God and to drive a wedge between the Savior and the saved." Satan's trying to get us to abandon God, to walk away from God, to not trust in God. That's what he's trying to do, and that's what those fiery darts coming at us are supposed to accomplish. John Patton, anybody heard of John Patton? This is a missionary in the South Sea Islands. Was translating the Bible for a South Sea Island tribe and discovered they had no word in their language for trust or faith. One day a native was running and running hard and came into the missionary's house and flopped into a large chair. And he said, "It is good to rest my whole weight on this chair." "And that's it," said Peyton. "There's my word. I'll translate faith as resting one's whole weight on God." In battle, flaming arrows were dipped in pitch, and another article told me that some of them may even have been dipped in poison, and they would be fired at the enemy. People who were hit by these arrows could be seriously injured or perhaps even killed in battle. The wooden shield carried by the Roman soldier, which was covered with metal or with water-soaked leather, could deflect or could extinguish such arrows. By the same token, the shield, which is our faith, extinguishes whatever arrows Satan sends our way. We must remember, however, to use the shield and to keep those things in mind. And so the first characteristic of the faith that the shield of faith represents is that it is a gift to God's people. Faith is a gift to God's people. God has given us a gift. We have to use it. Number two, second characteristic, and I know I've mentioned this already a little bit as we've gone on here. This faith protects us. This faith protects us from Satan's fiery darts. We've already looked at some of the ways that Satan attacks Christians, and we've all probably felt satanic attacks. Maybe we didn't even realize that that's where they were coming from. We know that Satan is our deadliest enemy. We know that he hates us, and he wants to do great harm to us. He's lost us in terms of our following him and being in eternity in hell with him, but as Christians, he wants to do what he can to undermine our faith in God. We are in a war, and we must never forget that. Now, sometimes our lives are relatively pleasant and things are going pretty good, and you know, we kind of forget that we're actually in a spiritual war. Spurgeon said, like the Spartan, every Christian is born a warrior. It is his destiny to be assaulted. It is his duty to attack. Part of his life will be occupied with defensive warfare. He will have to defend earnestly the faith once delivered to the saints. He will have to resist the devil. He will have to stand against all his wiles, and having done all that, still to stand. But only uplift the shield of faith, bearing the blood-red escutcheon of the cross, and there are plenty of knights of hell who are ready to unhorse you. You stand for Christ, they're coming after you. On champion, in the name of him that is with you. No lance can pierce that shield. No sword shall ever be able to cut through it. It shall preserve you in all battle and in all strife. You shall bring it home yourself. Through it all, you shall be more than conquerors. Faith, then, is like a shield because it has to bear the blows. I guess in Sparta, when warriors went out to war, their mothers would yell after them, either come home with your shield or come home on your shield. In other words, they carry you from the battle either dead or wounded on the shield. But as Christians, we're going to come home with our shield. Now, another writer gives us a list of some flaming arrows of temptation that could potentially come our way from Satan. I know I've already listed a bunch of them off to you. But this is a different list. It has some similarities with the first one, but it has some things on it that we didn't have in the first one. Number one, anything to get us to disobey God, that's a flaming arrow. Number two, blasphemous thoughts. I mean, inappropriate thoughts about certainly the faith, the Bible, Christ, etc. Critical and hateful thoughts. You know, that hatred that we have burning inside of us sometimes as we look back at what people has done to us, or as we are struggling with things even going on in our hearts at that moment. That all comes from Satan. That's a fiery dart, and we're to put the shield up. We're not supposed to deal with that. Number four, thoughts of lust, wrath, revenge, and despair. Ever felt any of those things? You don't have to raise your hand, but just think about it. We all have, I suspect. Sudden fears, anxieties, and panic attacks. You know, I deal with a lot of people that have anxiety and have panic attacks. Almost everybody has generalized anxiety disorder when I deal with them. And I think some of that, at least, is spiritually based. Medical attacks, you know, and here the author lists Job as an example of someone who had medical attacks. I guess sitting on a pile of ashes, scraping off, you know, different boils that you've got with a piece of broken pottery would be considered a medical attack. Next one, the last one, is questioning the inspiration and the authority of the Bible, the deity of Christ, the atoning sacrifice of Christ, salvation by grace through faith in Christ. All of those things that I mentioned are some examples of fiery arrows that might come our way. Martin Lloyd-Jones, faith in the shield of faith means application of what we believe as an answer to everything that the devil hurls at us. There's always an answer to what the devil throws at us. You know, you remember in the temptation when Christ went out in the wilderness right near the beginning of his ministry, and the devil would throw these temptations at him. Christ always responded with scripture. So we have a scripture, and that's our response. That's our shield. Second characteristic of the faith that the shield of faith represents, it protects us from Satan's fiery darts. It's a gift from God. It protects us from fiery darts. And number three, the third one, this faith enables us to overcome the world. This faith enables us to overcome the world. You ever feel oppressed by the world system? You have to realize that the world system is satanic. It's satanically based, it's satanically energized, and it's all going to hell. Just to be completely blunt, read Revelation chapter 19. I'd like you to turn with me for a moment to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to start with verse 1 and go all the way to verse 6. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Let me read that last part again. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Isn't that good? Verse 5. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? One writer says, overcomers are followers of Christ who successfully resist the power and the temptation of the world system. An overcomer is not sinless but holds fast to faith in Christ until the end. He does not turn away when times get difficult or become an apostate. Overcoming requires complete dependence on God for direction, for purpose, fulfillment, and strength to follow his plan for our lives. An overcomer is one who resists sin no matter what lure Satan uses. Now I'd like to go to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Again, that all has to do with putting on the shield of faith and resisting the arrows of the evil one. In the book of Revelation, great rewards are promised to people who overcome, promised to those who are overcomers. Chapter 2, verse 7, we're promised to eat from the tree of life. Chapter 2, verse 11, we will be unharmed by the second death. Chapter 2, verse 17, we'll eat from the hidden manna and we'll be given a new name. Chapter 2, verse 26, we'll have authority over nations. We're going to have authority over nations. That's pretty incredible. Chapter 3, verse 5, be clothed in white garments. Chapter 3, verse 12, be made a permanent pillar in the house of God. Chapter 3, verse 21, sit with Jesus on his throne. These are promised to those of us who are overcomers and use the shield of faith, as well as a few other things in living out our Christian life. We must remember that we are in a spiritual war with the enemy of our souls. In Ephesians 6, we have been told that we have been given divine weapons to fight this particular war. This morning, we've focused specifically on the shield of faith, and we've seen three characteristics of this faith, which is, in and of itself, our shield. Number one, it's God's gift. Number two, it protects us from Satan's fiery darts. And number three, enables us to overcome the world. Now I'm going to turn to the hymn book, number 727. And why don't you go ahead and turn there with me. I'm not going to lead you in a song, so do not become alarmed. I'm simply going to read you the words of this wonderful hymn, 727. Faith is the victory. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith, they like a whirlwind's breath swept on every field, swept o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our signing sealed. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dead array. Let tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmets on each head, with truth all girt about, the earth shall tremble beneath our tread and echo with our shout. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. O glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know, confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills our light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for the opportunity.